Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us. I'd like to talk just for a few minutes about the greatest joy a Christian can have. And I read in the Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, the greatest gift that you and I can ever have is our salvation. That's free, but not cheap. It cost Jesus his life to purchase our salvation. Winning souls to Christ is where the real joy comes in. Now, the qualifications for a soul winner, it's not how educated you are. It's not how handsome you are. It's not that you are a great theologian. It is, are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you committed unto the Lord? And how available are you? Jesus said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Believe me, friends, I'm not standing before you today and saying you're looking at a great soul winner. No, but you are looking at a man who wins souls to Christ. In 1959, I pastored my first church in Corbett, Oregon. I'd been a Christian just 4 years. I had a three-word vocabulary, duh, duh, and duh. I knew Genesis was the first book in the Bible, and I knew that Revelation was the last. Now, that might sound funny to you, but it was true. I put an ad in the local newspaper saying, "Soul-winning Bible study course." We really had some big crowds. Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal. I thought, Lord, what have I done? The Lord got me through it, and it paid off. One day I got a phone call from a man who was a member of the Evangelical Free Methodist. He said, "Preacher, I attended your soul-winning Bible study, and to be perfectly frank with you, I don't believe that it works." He said, "I have two members of my church and myself, and we want to be soul winners. Would you go with us and teach us out in the field?" I said, "Sure I will." So this night, the four of us met an alcoholic in his house. Now, his wife was a practicing witch. The minute we walked into that house, you could feel the very presence of Satan. Well, we all sat down, and these three men started talking about the baseball game. They talked about the beautiful weather. They talked about an hour. Finally, I thought, this is going nowhere. I said, "Sir, I'd like to tell you a story about a man that I knew." I said, "This young man was raised on a wheat and cattle ranch, and he lost his sister when she was a little girl, and he lost his mother, and his dad remarried the meanest woman that ever lived, and she used to beat him and lock him in the basement and all this and that." And I said, and the guy started showing some real concern. And I said, "You know, this young man ended up an alcoholic." And I said, "It was just terribly, almost was to lose his wife. He lost his business. He lost his home." And then I said, "You know how I know this story's true?" And this old man said, "No, I don't know how." I said, "Because I'm that man." I said, "Do you know, sir, that God loves you and that Christ died for you? And that if you do what I did and what these three men did a few years ago, we come to a place when we realize that we were sinners and we invited Christ into our heart to save us." And the old man said, "Yes, I want to do that." Now, this old alcoholic, we knelt there and he gave his heart to Christ. Friends, listen, these three men, they were walking on a cloud when they walked outside because they found out it does work. Personal evangelism is not as hard as the devil would make you think. If you've been born again and you know John 3:16, you're ready to go to work. I don't want to bore you with this story, but this is a very neat one. I was a member of a church in Portland. And this man came to me in the evening service, said, "Cecil, would you stay with me? My dad's drunk and he's going to come down and tear the church apart." I said, "I'll be glad to stay with you." So I stayed with him, and the church let out and everybody went home. And we were sitting up there waiting for him to come, and pretty soon, bang, 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 and he was slamming doors, and he'd come up those stairs, and he swung those two doors open, and he had his glasses on top of his head. He'd wet his pants. He'd vomited all over himself. And he said, "Sirs, can I find help?" I said, "Are you looking for help?" "Yes," he said, "I am. Instead of wanting to beat the church up and kill everybody," I said, "let me tell you, sir, I experienced the life that you lived, and I know that there's hope for you." I went over to plan a salvation with that man, and that dear old man trusted the Lord and accepted Christ as Savior. About, 4 or 5 weeks later was Christmas. And my wife and I, we lived out in the country. We were a little late getting to church. And they were practicing for the cantata. And I heard this most beautiful, beautiful tenor voice I had ever heard. Guess who it was? That old converted man converted to Christ. Friends, listen, the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new person, new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become as new." Some of you listening right now had never induced a soul to Christ, and you don't know the joy that you're missing. I want you to know, one time I was invited to preach in a church in Seattle, Washington, as a visiting preacher. And it was in a tough part of town, and I went to church that morning to preach. And after the service, this little lady, about 69-year-old, walked up to me and said, "Preacher, I don't agree with what you said today. You said that you knew you were going to heaven, and you said this, and you said that." I said, "It's true." "Well," she said, "I'd like to talk to you and your wife out of my home a little later on today." So we went out there, and she was in the rocking chair going 100 miles an hour. And I said, "Ma'am, you got a troubled heart. Let me go over the plan of salvation with you again." So I did. To make a long story short, it wasn't pretty soon that her and my wife and I was kneeling there, and that dear old lady was giving her heart to Christ. She said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you something that's it's really going to excite you." She said, "I've never been to that church before in my life." And she said, 10 o'clock last night, it was raining like it can only rain in Seattle, and there was a rap on my door. And she said, "I live in this tough neighborhood," so I was kind of hesitant to look out. And so I peeked out the window, and here was a little girl about 10 or 11 years ago, old and no raincoat, and her hair was down over her face, and she was soaking wet. She opened the door and said, "Honey, what can I do for you?" She said, "Ma'am, we're having a new preacher coming to church. Said, today, would you like to come to church with me?" And she said, I said, "Yes, I will." Oh, she said, that little girl was so poor. Now, let me tell you, friends, that night I preached, and that dear lady came forward and made a profession of faith. And I said to her, I said, "Is that little girl here?" And she said, "Yes, she's sitting right over there in about the fifth row." I had noticed that her hand was held on her lap all this time, the morning service. She had a big hole in her dress. She had two club feet. And I said to the little girl, "Would you come up and stand with this dear lady? Because if it wasn't for your faithfulness and your concern, she wouldn't be saved today." She came up and stood sideways so they couldn't see the hole in her dress. And dear friends, now let me tell you the beautiful part of that story. After that little girl accepted Christ, her mother and dad told her they didn't want her living with them because she was crazy. And a crazy Christian. And did you know, now, after this happened, after this woman was saved, there was a very wealthy woman in that church. And she adopted this little girl, took her out and had both of her feet operated on. The last report I had, that she was the best soul winner that church has ever had. A little 10 or 11-year-old girl. Friends, listen to me. We have an obligation today. You say, "Well, Cecil, you know, that's what we pay our pastor for." Oh, dear people, don't depend upon your pastor. he's busy enough. But a pastor should be a soul winner, don't get me wrong. But they're so busy nowadays, they don't have time to do anything but study and bury and marry and baptize. They don't have time to get out in the highways and the byways. That's where you laymen come in. Oh, I'm telling you, I used to train laymen and lay women and men in soul winning. We used to go to churches all over the country, Texas, Montana, Colorado, and those people were soul winners. Well, what did they do? They just told how they met Jesus. That's what they did. They shared their personal testimony like Paul did in his life one day on that road. Friends, let me ask you a question. Here's a prayer I pray every day. Lord, give me holy boldness. Fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Endue me with power from on high. Lord, help me be a soul winner for Jesus. And I'm telling you, friends, that worked. I read a book one time about a man called Praying Hyde, H-Y-D-E, over in the Orient. After reading that book, it changed my life. Because I fell across my bed and I said, Lord, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. I'm not the smartest man in the world. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and my elevator may not go clear to the top floor. But I know what you did for me. You changed my life. You sobered me up. You gave me back my wife and my kids. Oh, Lord, help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. My life has never been the same. Friends, listen to me. Listen. You say, Cecil, I know that you speak a lot about soul winning well, and you speak a lot about alcoholics. Well, that's true, because I was one. You say, well, you're still one. No, I'm not. I'm a converted alcoholic. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm a converted alcoholic. A converted alcoholic has been delivered from the curse of alcohol. A recovering alcohol is still trying. Oh, friends, listen to me. What we need is more soul winners. I tell you, you take a teenage boy or girl and you teach them the ropes, teach them how to be soul winners, and they'll show you some things. If wherever I preach revivals, and I used to preach a lot of revivals in the South, and I tell you, I used to always get the young people together and talk to them and encourage them to go out in the highways and the byways. You say, Cecil, you're talking to the wrong man. I'm not even a Christian. Would you like to be? Would you like to have your sins forgiven? If you do, bow your head right now. If you feel it tugging at your heart, and pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you get a hold of me. The announcer at the end of the broadcast will tell you how to get a hold of me. And put your phone number. If you email me, I'll call you back. I do not write and ask people for money. That I don't do that. Okay, friends, until this time, next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.